Okay. If we hope we have a place in His kingdom, we have to be loyal and fearless and walk in His way, because this is a glorious land. And we have so many hope in the future. In all of the characters in the Bible, we can face them directly and we will know everything. So nowadays on the earth, we have so many things unknown. We don't know the details. But imagine if one day you have chance to stand in the kingdom of heaven, you can face them, then we will know. So be patient and be hope. With this hope, to make sure we have a place in this promised land. Okay. So return to God's glory. Israel deeply corrupted. They forsook the glory of God. They despised the covenant of God. And they walk in their own way and they corrupt deeply. In verse 1 to 9, it describes they played the harlot against God. In verse 1, it says, "Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples, for you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threading floor." You can see this, the word is that you have made love for hire on every threading floor. Meaning they play harlot, adultery with this kind of the Gentiles for worshiping their idols. Because the worshiping idols, the actions and the adultery, the sexual immorality combined together, that's how these people, they are deeply corrupted. They also despise the prophet and show enmity to spiritual men in the house of God because of great iniquity. So from verse 7 to 8, it described at that time how they despise the prophet. So they said, the prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is insane because of the greatness of your iniquity and the great enmity. But actually, the prophet and the spiritual man is the watchman of the Ephraim, the watchman of the kingdom. Say, verse 8, the watchman of Ephraim is with my God, but the prophet is a flawless snare in all his ways, enmity in the house of his God. Why? Because they try to destroy the watchman of God. In other translation, if we don't understand the verse by itself, sometimes we can go to different translation. You will see or different kind of explanation. These two verses actually mention about at that time how people they trick prophet and the spiritual man just like an incense. They are just a fool. Let's say they try to destroy the prophet. They don't want to listen to the voice of God. They want to insist their own way. So even in the house of God, they try to harm the prophet. So this is another action explain how they deeply corrupted. They don't care about God. Of course, they have no mercy, and they are not going to listen to the voice of the prophet. Also, let's mention about they sin against God as in the days of Gibeah. The Gibeah, the event happened in Gibeah in Judges 19 to 20. If you flip to these two chapters, you will see how sinful they were before in the time of Judges. They just do whatever they want. Very similar to our society now, actually. So be careful. Don't be polluted. Don't be conformed by this society. From this verse, this passage, we can see the result. If they don't care about God, they are corrupted, and then what is the consequence follow? Famine comes. The new wine fell in Israel. So verse 2, the threshing floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. So meaning they don't have enough to feed themselves. They will suffer from lacking food. Verse 3 says, they should not dwell in the promised land, right? Because Ephraim shall return to Egypt, which is a land of bondage, a land of slaves. So they cannot continue to live in this promised land. In verse 4 to 5, they should not offer sacrifice to the Lord. Even though they offer, God will not accept. Right? So this is a result. Without God, they will be in captivity. In verse 6 and 7, behold, Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. As you can see. Verse 7, the days of punishment have come. The days of recompense have come. Israel knows. They know. Because God sent the prophet, to speak this message again and again. Destruction is coming. This is the result. So when we see this historical event, we have to apply into our life. If we don't really care about God, then this is the result. Because God never changes. The things happened before will happen right now. The same thing. From verse 10 to 17, the consequence when the Lord departs from them. So you can see, what is the consequence? Glory shall fly away like a bird. God just disappeared. Without God, then Israel is just like what? It's just nothing. They are small country actually, right? So in book of Ezekiel, it describes how God's glory depart from the temple, from the Israel. Step by step, God first, in a temple, holy temple, God's glory sit on the mercy seat, right? In the holy of holies. And then you can see, then this glory of God depart from this temple, then go into the east side and sit there to watch. And next step, God went higher to the mountain, outside the temple, outside the Jerusalem, on the mountain to see. And then God eventually disappeared, went up to heaven. So God's glory actually depart from them gradually, but they don't know. This is in the book of Ezekiel. This is in a vision, prophet saw it. Here in Hosea, my glory, see here, verse 11, right? Their glory will fly away. The result is no descendants, right? No descendants. From verse 11 to verse 16. Verse 12, Lord, they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them to the last man. Yes, all to them when I depart from them. No descendants. If we don't have a descendants, if a family don't descendants, then after few decades, then this family is done. No more. But with descendants, always have hope. So every time when we see babies in the church, we see the hope of the church. So that's why in every family, after you get married, you have to consider to produce, make a godly offspring, make our church have hope. If our younger generation don't want to raise up children, then eventually our church will become old men church, right? Everyone just sitting just exercise, no one wants to move. Just some of us, just like old men, old ladies. We just stand there, don't want to exercise. Be energetic, because this is how we can show we have faith. We have a really hope in the church. If this exercise time for the E2 class, Wow, it is so joyful, right? In SLC, you can see E2 students, especially those boys. Wow, they are so excited in the SSL time. They are wrong, then they are so energetic. They want to use their energy. But we, from E2 to NYT is only 10, how many years depart? 10 years only, you see? This is totally different scenery in the exercise time. So we have to really see of with younger generation is so important. But without children, then there's no hope, right? So for your reference, you, in the future, after you get married, have to consider by the faith, we have to raise up the children and educate them to make them become a pillar of the church. Okay, so don't just try to enjoy your life. Oh, I want to enjoy it because of kids, I cannot do it. I could not do this or do that. I have to always carry this kind of sometimes burdens. But after you have children, you will see it's a beautiful burden actually. With kids, then the family full of joy. All right, so the consequence is no descendants. And in verse 15, because of evil deeds, God drive them out of his house. So verse 15, right? I will drive them from my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebellious. This is the consequence. God will love them no more. In verse 10 to 17, all to them who God depart from them. So you can change. You can see how their status change in this chapter. They used to be loved by God. Why? In verse 10, I found Israel like grape in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruit on the fig tree in his first season. They are so precious in the sight of God first, in the beginning. But later, God said, you become an abomination to me. Why? Because they turn away from God, from the Lord, and then follow idols. From very precious to become an abomination. It's a tremendous change, right? Then, they used to be the holy people of God. God said, a purpose for this nation, very important, a nation and kingdom of priests. But now, in verse 3, they should not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim should return to Egypt. Return back to be a slave. It's a change. Next, you can see in verse 5 to 6, what will you do in the appointed date and in the date of the feast of the Lord? According to Leviticus and Numbers, if they do have a feast, this is a joyful moment. It's, you know, according to God's appointed date, they're supposed to enjoy the entire nation, gather together, the presence of God. So this is a great fellowship time for them. People come together to share about God's presence. But once they depart from the Lord, and then this in verse 6 say, in the appointed day, what will you do? Because they don't have anything to offer actually. And whatever they offer, God will not accept. So it becomes so sad. No presence, no joyful. So from joy in the feast and then become very sorrowful. This is a big change. From being multiple to bereaved the last man. Not even one remained. So this kind of the glorious nation become a very, very sad situation. So this is all to whom God depart from them. So today, in our family, in our own personal perspective, we received all the glory and joy from the Lord. We have to remain it. Don't make it Don't make it lost. Don't just let it go, because this is so, this is nowhere to find another to replace. No way. Okay, so this verse, chapter 9, how to return to God's glory. How? From verse 1, we have to understand the true joy comes from the Lord. True joy. Right? If we can see though, so in verse 1, he said, do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples. So where can we find the real joy? From the Lord. So you don't want to spend your time, waste your time in playing video games, because this is not going to be a true joy. You will become even more empty in your heart, because your conscience will rebuke you. You waste time, you waste your life, but you cannot overcome it. Right? So return to this right track. Find the true joy from the Lord. Remember the honorable status before the Lord. We are so precious to the Lord. Don't make it lost. Don't lose it. Oh, always grab hold on it. We repent from our weakness. Verse 8. We have to repent from our weakness. The watchman of Israel is with my God, but the prophet is a false snare in all his way. Ephraim, enmity in the house of his God. In the house of God, we're supposed to have joy, love, hope, righteous, everything. Don't make the house of God become a place to show up yourself. You know, try to gain some our personal reputation. Don't try to just fulfill our ambition. Something we have to really understand, this is house of God. So we have to return. If we can return back to God's glory, ourselves will receive this glory as well. And we will be filled with the joy, and we can really be planted in the promised land. We will have a part, a portion in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so it's chapter 9. Let's continue in chapter 10. Chapter 10, continue to read. Next. Chapter 10, verse 1.
Chapter 10, verse 1. Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself, according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars, according to the bounty of his land. They have embellished his sacred pillar.
Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars.
Verse 3. For now they say we have no king, because we did not fear the Lord. And as for a king, what would he do for us?
Verse 4. They had spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment brings up like hemlock in furrows of the field.
Brother Sight.
Verse 5. The inhabitants of Samaria fear because of the calf of Ben-Avin, for its people mourn for it, and its priests shriek for it, because its glory has departed from it.
Verse 6, the idol also shall be carried to Assyria as a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel.
Verse 7, as for Samaria, her king is cut off like a twig on the water.
Verse 8, also the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us.
Verse 9, O Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them.
Verse 10, when I please, I will punish them. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bonds of their double sides.
11. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh grain, but I harness her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow, and Judah shall bring.
Twelve. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you.
13. But you have planted wickedness, you have reaped evil, you have eaten the fruit of deception, because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors.
14节, 所以在证明中必有轰嚷之声, 你一切的保障必被拆毁, 就如撒勒曼在征战的日子, 拆毁不亚米比勒, 将其中的母子一同摔死。
15. It shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly.
What? So this is chapter 10. In the beginning, the Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself, according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the bounties of his land. And they have embellished his sacred pillars. So this chapter, we have to return to God's righteousness. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If we return to righteousness, then we will reap mercy. We will reap the blessing of God. But if we, on the other hand, we sow all this rebellion deeds, then we receive, of course, iniquity and cursing. So from verse 1 to 8, this is the message of the prophet, right? Because he used the third person. Their heart is divided, verse 2. Now they are held guilty. And he will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars. So he referred to the Lord, right? So the message from the prophet, and from verse 9 to 15, God's exhortation. So you look at verse 9. Israel, oh Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeah. And then in verse 10, what it is my desire, I will chasten them. I will chasten them, now God said. So from verse 9 to 15, this is God's word. Okay, so this is the outline. The destruction from the Lord to Israel. God will break down altars, spoil image, the sin of Israel. It's referred to the idol worshiping. So what is the result? No, the destruction is in verse 4. He said, this is a judge, right? In verse 4, thus judge spring up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. The judge will come. In verse 5, fear, right? Fear. Because the inhabitants of Samaria fear because of the calf of Beth Evan, for its people mourn for it, and its priests shriek for it, because its glory has departed from it. God is going to destroy it. Fear. And then they receive shame and be ashamed. Verse 6, you can see this verse, this description. And her king is cut off. Verse 7. So this is the destruction. The disaster is coming. So what is considered as guilty? Let's ponder a little bit. What is considered as guilty? To us, what is sin? To you, what is sin? If I commit something against the law, if I actually do it, then it's a sin, right? But in this chapter, we can see if we have a divided heart in verse 2, then this is this is kind of the guilty to us. To Israel, their heart turned to the law, but at the same time also to the idol. Their heart divided. They don't love God wholeheartedly. That's the problem. So today, we have to remember, if we love this world, then the love of the Lord will not remain in our heart. So this is, we cannot serve the Lord at the same time want to have pleasure in this world. This is God's rule we have to follow. Of course, in verse 15, chapter 4, 15, it says, pray hard. In these chapters, we just read, all talking about the adulteries. Willing to walk after the pursuit of men. In verse 15, chapter 10, verse 15. Lest it should be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. They follow man's concept. After the precept of man. In verse 5:11 is the same message. Verse 5:11. Ephraim is oppressed and broke in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. They care about man's order, men care about God's commandment. So if we worship all idol, of course this is a sin, guilty, right? Rebel against God. Chapter 13, verse 16. 13:16. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. If we become rebellious to the Lord, it's a guilty. So these five things we have to remember. Do we have a divided heart? Do we love the Lord wholeheartedly? Do we have idol in our heart? Do we walk after the precept of God or of man? Do we really submit ourselves to God's commandment? Or we just do it, I don't want, but I am forced to do it. Right? So we are not going to be rebellious. God's exhortation to the Israel. This is from verse 10 to 7 to 15. Because they have sinned from the days of Gibeah. So from the time of Judges until now in the book of Hosea, how many years now? In the book of Judges, just about 1,200 BC maybe, until the Hosea is about 750 BC. Several hundred years they have sinned from the days of Gibeah and continue, they sin against God. So this is how they are just so stubborn to listen to God's word. And they be bound in two transgressions in verse 10. Just two things, right? What is the two sins here, verse 10? When it is my desire, I will chase them. People shall be gathered against them when I bind them for their two transgressions. What is the two transgressions? Two things. Two sins. the sin their father has committed before in the Gibeah. And then from that day on, they continue to commit the same sin against God. Their forefathers sins and then their own sins. And also in this book also refer to they worship idols, right? And then play harlotry. They commit sexual immorality, but in the spiritual things, they worship idols. Also, these two sins. So for yourself, righteousness. So this is in the verse 12, right? In verse 12, so for yourself, righteousness, and live in mercy. So you will reap what you sow. It is time to seek the Lord. Verse 12. It is time, right? For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness on you. Okay. So Ephraim is a trained heifer. What does it mean? Ephraim is a trained heifer. They love to thresh grain, enjoys God's blessing. Right? God used them and then God feed them. So Ephraim, if they really understand God's love and God's purpose, they will enjoy it all the time. God trained them specially for a purpose. So God said, I harness her fat neck, meaning God's training, God wants to put labor on them and they put the responsibility for them to do. This is God's training. God used this Israel to do something, actually to be an example for future salvation. So God sometimes will also train us. So God will use us to become his vessel, his tool, to fulfill his plan. God's expectation of her, right? Verse 12, have to write, to probe, and then to show righteousness. God used, especially in verse 11, say, but I harnessed her fat neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah should plow. Jacob should break his clod. So it's just kind of God used this heifer to do something. God have an expectation. They have to really, just like in verse 12, say, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness on you. Break up your fallow ground. What did we sow for our spiritual life? What do you do? Seek good, not evil, right? We have to seek good, not evil. Amos chapter 5. For he who sows to his flesh, let's turn to this verse. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 8. 7 and 8. Father, please read. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Continue. Father, read the Bible.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8.
For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. For he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life.
Okay. Verse 8 says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You make a decision for yourself what you are going to sow. All right, come back to chapter 11, Hosea. Chapter 11. We read this chapter. Right? Continue, brother.
Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son.
As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images.
3. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them.
Verse 4. I drew them with gentle cords, with band of love, and I was to them as to those who take the yoke from their neck. I stoop and pet them.
Verse 5. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to repent.
Verse 6. A sword will flesh in their cities, and you will devour their false prophet and put an end to their plans.
Verse 7. My people are bent on blacksiding for me, though they call to the Most High, none of all exalt him.
Verse 8. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Jeboim? My heart is chained within me. All my compassion is aroused.
I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim, for I am God, not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath.
10. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his sons shall come trembling from the west.
Verse 11. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Israel. I will settle them in their homes, declare the Lord.
12. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful.
What? So this is chapter 11. It continues to mention about the love, God's continuing love for Israel. So return to the mercy of the Most High, the Holy One. Continue, if we continue to love God, we will always remember God's love, mercy. We are looking for His mercy. We have to return back to Him. His love never changes. So here in verse 1, it mentioned, it opened this way. Out of Egypt I call my son, and I love him. I love him. And God will also continue to love them. Even though after they have kept by Assyria, God will once again to call them back. So in verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion when he roars. Then his son shall come trembling from the west. And they shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria. And I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. So God will call them back again. As their assembly, like house of God, once again to restore His glory. Okay, so the outline, verse 1 to 4, God's love to His beloved child. But the child didn't know it. It's so innocent about God's love. Verse 5 to 7, severe judgment will come. Verse 8 to 11, God's sympathy is stirred. God just cannot forsook His beloved son. All right, so in this chapter, we can see the portrait of God. If you look at the whole book of Hosea, God used, you know, the prophet used all different ways to describe the Lord. This God everlasting love, unchanging love to his people. So what is the law to us? What is the portrait of God? Just like in verse 1, right? Just like a loving father, I love him, the child Israel. God said, I love him. It's just like a loving father to his son. In verse 9, he is the Holy One in your midst. He is the Holy One. I am God, not man. Right? So it's in the verse 9. I am God and the not man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come with terror. God is the Holy One, our Holy God. We have a Holy Spirit. God is not man. God is as a lion roaring to call his people back. Oh, as a lion. In verse 13, in chapter 13, verse 7 to 8, it also describes God. 7 to 8, I will be them like a lion, like a leopard, by the Lord I will look. Right? I will meet them like a bear, deprived of her cub. I will tear open their rib cage. Just like all different kind of the lion, leopard, bear, describe God's judgment and punishment. This to those who forsake God. In chapter 14, verse 5. Chapter 14, verse 5. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like a lily and lengthened his roots like a Lebanon. God said, I, just like a dew to Israel, mercy and blessing, always comfort. Another way to describe God's love. In verse 8, like a green fir tree. Verse 8, I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. So God is the resource of all life, and his blessing like an evergreen tree never cease. So we can receive all these kind of blessings from the Lord. He is the source of all good things. If we turn back to chapter 10, verse 11, Ephraim is a trained heifer. Right? So God, just like a very experienced farmer, he know how to train his child. And he wanted his kingdom, this kingdom of Israel, to sow righteousness and then reap mercy. He know how to reap, to harvest the good things. So just like a very experienced farmer. First, they have to train the cow first. God also like the maker of Israel. Chapter 8, verse 14. He is the Lord. Chapter 8, 14. The Israel has forgotten his maker and has built temples. So our Lord is our maker. So he is our designer. So he knows all our problems. We can return to him. I get a solution. He is a powerful medical doctor, right? He can heal every sickness. So in chapter 6, verse 2, this mighty God, with love and mercy, he wounded and he will heal. So this is in chapter 6. God, as a morning cloud, as a rain, later and the former rain, to shower upon us blessings. Chapter 6, verse 3, God is like this rain of blessings. In chapter 4, God is like a sharper, verse sharper, right? Chapter 4, verse 16. chapter 4, 16 say, "For Israel is stubborn, like a stubborn cow. Now the Lord will let them forage, like a lamb in the open country." God knows how to make his people get trained and how to make them submission. So God feels their need. As a loving husband, chapter 2. Back to the original theme of this book. Just a loving husband. Always care about his children, his wife. His heart is going to link with us as one body. So we have to, you know, to try to understand God's relationship with us. The prophet used all different ways to describe it, and it's only one purpose, to know this God, this Savior. Okay, so here almost in verse 4, chapter 11, verse 4, he mentioned about God used gentle cord with bands of love, right? Verse 4. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I scooped and fed them. So God's love is forever, and his purpose is to make sure his children of God can his children can really walk in his way and follow his direction. Okay, so this is in chapter 11. I think this is for next, we will continue in the last three chapters on Sunday to finish this book.